Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant, Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Friday afternoon. We've got to talk some more Masters, and joining us now, Dan Reardon, the renowned golf reporter over at KMOX. He's at the Masters. He joins us to talk all about it. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Basically, almost through 2 days of the tournament, what has been your first takeaway from what you've seen out on the course?
Perfect playing conditions. I've tried to find anybody who can tell me the last time we've had a Masters where no rain during the week, not just at the tournament itself, but during the week has occurred, and nobody can tell. I'm sure this happened probably isn't as far back as it seems. But when you have that as a circumstance, and this is the permanent major, this is the only one playing at the same venue every year, you have a committee that can dictate what the results are going to be on a daily basis. And I used a term this morning that I've never used before in talking about Augusta National. But I said, I think the committee is able to establish a speed limit. And each day they know what that speed limit is going to be. And yesterday I think that speed limit was not the five unders. I think 69, three under was the speed limit. And that Burns and McIlroy broke the speed limit by a couple of strokes. And we're at that same figure again today. So as we look over the 4 days, with the possible exception of Sunday, with winds at 10 miles an hour, perhaps gusting as high as 21, we're seeing players basically facing the same set of circumstance day after day after day. And so today, the course is playing two strokes easier, but I can tell you I was on the course for at least a couple of hours. There's not a lot of electricity going on out there. It's sort of a grinding kind of existence for most of these people. And I didn't see if Rory had made his birdie yet at 15. If he would finish at 9-under, I think they flashed on the board down here that if he shoots 9-under, he will have the lowest, or he'll match the lowest 36-hole total by a reigning champion since Ian Woosnam. You know, so I mean, yesterday was magnificent because we had 15 majors represented at the top 10, and we have a significant number again, but it's not very electric today for whatever reason.
And Dan, Augusta National, they like the roars. When you're there, you want to hear it from over there, and you want to see it right in front of you, and it's why using your speed limit premise, I think tomorrow speed limit could stay like this, but on Sunday, we got to have electricity. We got to have those roars, don't you think?
Oh, I when I brought this up this morning, I said, when you get to the back nine on Sunday, it will be on the Audubon. There will be no speed limit at that point in time. And I go back to 2019 when Tiger won. We got to the back nine, and the speed limit was taken off. And what did we see? Everybody but Tiger crashed and burned at 12. And Tiger just had set it on cruise control and waited for everybody to wreck, again, overworking this auto racing kind of sequence. But he just waited for everybody to crash on the turn, and then he just coasted to the win. It's just, what is the wind going to do to this golf course on Sunday? What's this going to do to the leaders? You know, players will play through snow, they'll play through rain, they'll play through hail, they'll play through every circumstance before they want to play in the wind. And 10 miles an hour may not seem a lot. But when you're talking about a golf course that's had no rain in 8 days, and you're talking about a golf course with terrain features, and you know what's overlooked about that? It's not the greens that people should pay attention to necessarily. It's how well they're able to hold the fairways. And let's talk just briefly about Rory McIlroy. You know, yesterday on the front nine, he didn't hit a fairway until he got to the ninth fairway.
Wow.
And he's a little better at it today. But he's doing a little bit of smoke and mirrors right now, and I don't think you can do that for 4 days and win a major, much less do it at Augusta National.
Yeah, he was all over the place yesterday, and was 5 under. Patrick Reed literally played from another fairway on a hole or two yesterday and had a good round. You mentioned 2019 and Tiger, and I was there for that Sunday morning, the early start, because of impending bad weather that really never hit. And Jack Nicklaus described it as on number 12. He said they filled the pond with golf balls, and Tiger was just the veteran playing for the wide side of the green. And Frank Nabilo said he hunted them all down and caught them. Will it be somebody catching somebody, or will it be a veteran presence like a Rory that knows how to get out there and protect a lead?
Well, you know, it depends on how much of that veteran presence you believe is true of Rory right now. You know, it took him 16 years to figure out how to play this golf course. Does that mean that all those other struggles and miscalculations are gone away? I'm not rooting against Rory. It'd be a great story. He'd be the first repeat winner here at Augusta since Tiger in 2000-2001. He's always had a history of one bad day at Augusta, and we'll find out whether that history is part of him now, or if he's killed all those demons and he's a new player on this course. He certainly has the talent. There's no question he has the talent. But you know, he's been so erratic off the tee, and then turned his talent against the golf course at that point in time. I just fear that you can't do that day in and day out at this venue. You might find a venue where you can do that. You can certainly do that on the PGA Tour. You know, he could do that at Memphis, but I don't know if you can do that for 4 days at Augusta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really, really good question. Brett and I have talked the last couple of days about Justin Rose. He's T5 right now, 69 for the second round for him. This is a guy that's had a lot of success at the Masters, has been runner-up a couple times. What have you seen from him this week, and what do you think about him over these next 2 days?
I think his 5-under total, I didn't look it up, I think his 5-under total matches where he was after 36 holes last year.
Wow.
And I dismissed him at that time. I said, you know, he's in his mid-40s, and people other than Jack Nicklaus don't win in their mid-40s. And quite honestly, he had a brilliant round of golf on Sunday to put himself in that position to tie Rory. I now got burned by my conversation about his age and winning. Justin Rose is a dangerous character. And Justin Rose, you know, I said to somebody, if you wanted to see how Brooks Koepka was going to play in this championship, watch on the first day and see how many putts he makes from 5 to 8 feet. Because when Brooks makes those putts, Brooks contends. And Brooks is making those putts right now. Justin Rose is a guy that he rolls in a lot of 10-footers. It's like he remembers them in the Ryder Cup. Every time he has a 10-footer to win a hole, whether it's a birdie or a par, Justin Rose rolls that ball in the hole. And he's playing that kind of golf somewhat consistently. So I don't think you can dismiss him. Saturday will be a critical round for him, because he admitted that the disappointment of losing in the playoff on Sunday was not the disappointment. The disappointment was he performed so poorly on Saturday and made it difficult for himself to win the championship.
Justin Rose was our champion last August at the FedEx St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind, and there's just not a nicer man out there. And we remember that 1998 burst on the scene, holing out on his final hole at the Open Championship. Mark O'Meara had it in hand. Last fall, he was Ryder Cup captain for the European team, won in 2013 at Marion. This seals Golf Hall of Fame, doesn't it, if he's not already in, Dan?
Oh, I would think so. And, you know, and he admits to it. After he had that and then quickly turned pro, I think he went 2 years, and he didn't make a cut the first year, and he didn't do much the second year. And I think he had to relearn how to compete in the game of golf. He paid his dues to be where he is now in his mid-40s. He did what he needed to do. And out of Europe, yeah, I mean, who Rory will place ahead of him? Who do you put, you know, ahead of him out of Europe? I'm drawing a blank. Who do we put after Rory as the next top player out of Great Britain or Europe? And I think Justin is certainly in that conversation.
And prototype of what Augusta National wants in a gentlemanly winner.
Well, but then we also have to say, we go back to Nick Faldo before an English player has won a Masters championship. And that's, what, 96 when Faldo beat Norman. But it's not been kind to the Brits until Rory won last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it has not. We've now gone 12 minutes in this segment without talking about Scottie Scheffler, which seems like it should be hard to do.
Unthought of.
Yeah, it's right, and it kind of reflection on his play, especially today, 2 over in round two. It's been quiet for him this year. It's been a quiet start for him at the Masters, obviously taking some time off with the birth of his child. What have you seen from him, especially today, with this 2 over round?
I really looked at his numbers, and you know, and I'm a firm believer that he's clearly the number one player in the world, even with what Rory is doing these days. And his numbers are just not very good. What does Scotty do? He plays well from the fairway, and he's effective, not great, on the greens. Well, his first few days, he's had 31 and 32 putts, so you're not going to win the Masters with putting totals in the 30s. And he's missed a pretty high percentage of greens, so his iron game is not sharp. And I noticed that that he was getting coverage of him spending a lot of time on the range after his round today. I don't think it's the 3 weeks off. I think he's, you know, we saw the same thing last year when he came onto the tour late because he had the injury to his hand. Mm-hmm. And he was, Scotty has been a little testy, I think, about press conferences after tournaments when people expect him to win. And he said, you know, just realize winning is really hard to do, and I'm playing well, and I have a win, so I don't think I should defend the way I'm playing. Well, he's almost exactly where he was at this time last year, and I thought he was going to win last year on Sunday, and he played briefly, put a burst on the board, and then came back. You know, he's, like I said, he's almost the same player performance-wise, except he has that win on his record that he was a year ago. What he has done is he avoided that opening round that he's had recently where he's very pedestrian in his opening rounds and then played well on the weekend. But, you know, the missed fairway, not the missed fairways, the missed greens, I think, is the key. The 31, 32 putts, you're going to do that when you miss, and then with missed greens, you're going to shoot even par one over, something like that, because, you know, you miss a green and you two putt, to me, that's the same as a three putt. I mean, you just haven't done the job.
Our friend Dan Reardon, our guest on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, the preeminent golf reporter in the country. And at this August, in the second phase of the playoffs at the BMW at Bellerive in St. Louis, he will be de facto host. I'll have it covered the week. We'll have it covered the week before, won't we, Bryant?
Yeah,
and then we'll hand it off to Dan Reardon in St. Louis at Bellerive the next week before they get to the Tour Championship. Dan, how far is too far back? If this 9-under, Rory gets it in he through 15, he's on 16 green now. If he stayed at 9 or added to it, how far is too far back?
I'm scanning the names going down the board a little bit. I don't think you have a chance if you're not in red numbers going into tomorrow's round. And I have 24 players at minus one or better. So you got a lot of bodies to climb over, first of all. And secondly, I go back to the speed limit. You know, the way they control the scores here is hole locations. And we haven't had the players talk about how difficult or easy the hole locations have been these first 2 days. In fact, we haven't had almost any conversation with anybody today. So I would speculate that we're going to get a little menacing in terms of hole locations from the committee tomorrow. Mm-hmm. To reposition this leaderboard. I don't see anybody throwing a 65 or a 66 at the field tomorrow or Sunday. So, and that's what you would have to do. You know, the breakout round we had today came from Tyrrell Hatton, but he started the day at 2 over. So when he comes in with a 66 to get in contention, you know, he got in contention, but he's still, you know, sitting pretty far off the pace. You got to do that back to back. I don't think you can shoot back to back really hot rounds at this golf course. As I said, if you're not in red numbers now, you're not checking your coat size for Sunday.
We know with these majors, and especially with the Masters being this early, it's kind of our look and our reminder of the live guys. Were you able to get your eyes on this 3D iron that Bryson DeChambeau is using?
I have not, but I will editorialize and say, if what people are talking about halfway through the Masters is your printed iron, you're in trouble. But I think Bryson was in position. You know, the cut is going to come at plus four, and right now he's at plus three, so he's around for the weekend. Mm. You know, I had a conversation with somebody here. I really enjoy Bryson these days, but I don't think he's ever going to be a major factor in golf when he's using six iron shafts in his wedges. I just don't think that we've got more than a century of history with the short clubs, and he's trying to break that history. And the other thing I said is, you know, going to those standard length shafts in all his clubs, he said he was going to revolutionize his game. I don't know of a single player in professional golf who has followed his lead. And I think probably the rest of the guys are just as smart as he is.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just try it the way it's been tried for 100 years. You're right. It would be a little more conventional. For you, what number of Masters does this make for you? We had our friend Grant Hall on the other day from Northwest Arkansas, and he said y'all got the Cardinals figured out for the rest of the year. He was at 44 this year. How many for Dan Reardon?
I go into the 40 club next year.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
That is great.
Yeah, and I'm getting a lot of good vibes from people around here. Now, I mean, you know, it's still a year off, so we'll see what the circumstance is. But, no, that's come up a conversation. You guys will always throw that. And actually, the as much as that's been a goal for me, the number I'm proudest of, I suppose, is that next year will be either 135 or 136 majors. And for a local radio guy to cover 130-plus majors is unheard of. Yeah. I mean, just absolutely unheard of. So, like I said, I'll brag about that because I learned as much at the PGA or the U.S. Open. I work a couple of Open championships. They fill the knowledge of golf folder pretty well for me as well.
And Dan, that's up there. That's passing. I mean, that's more than Grant Rice or Dan Jenkins. I mean, that number is bigger than almost anybody that's ever covered in the sport.
Not Jenkins. Jenkins got to 200 majors.
Did he really? Okay.
He got there. And I have a friend here who does radio out of Australia, and Graham Agar has done something that probably nobody will ever do, which is Graham has covered over 100 golf majors and over 100 tennis majors, and that's a pretty impressive stat.
Whoa, that is. It, by any chance, is Sally Jenkins there, Dan's daughter?
I have not seen Sally. But,
I didn't
know the number of riding press here is dwindling. You know, we talked about the 40. The 40 club is a goal for a lot of people. There's speculation that we're pretty much to the end. Because the business has changed.
That's right.
And you're not going to see people do this for 4 years. I got into the game late. I shouldn't be in that conversation, quite honestly. But, no, I have not seen Sally Jenkins here. Mm. I assume that's because that she got whacked with everybody else at the Washington Post.
Mm. Yeah.
Ugh, I hate that. Well, Dan, you might be good luck for Rory McIlroy. Since you joined us, he has had two birdies. He has now gotten to 10 under, stretching his lead out over the other guys. So who do you think wins it all on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening? Who will we be talking about as Masters champion?
Well, let's just be controversial and say Patrick Reed.
Mm. Let's do. Let's be controversial. And he will ride back in on a chariot back to the PGA Tour with that.
Absolutely. I like the reformed LIV player winning the Masters. I like that scenario.
I'm always for the Reformation Project, aren't you, Dan?
The good story.
That's right.
That would be a really, really good story. But, Dan, as always, thanks so much for joining us.
Outstanding.
Enjoy the rest of the week. I know it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I enjoy it, folks. And like I said, it would be great for Rory. I'm not rooting against him.
Yeah, it would be a fun story. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dan.
Enjoy the weekend.
I'll be listening on sports on a Sunday morning with you and Tom Ackerman. Thank you.
We'll be there. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Dan.
You got it.
Dan Reardon joining us to talk all things Masters. I mentioned it, but Rory McIlroy extending his lead. I believe back-to-back birdies here. And I think we've talked about this before, the PGA Tour app, very slow. And it takes it a while to
But the Masters app.
The Masters app is great, but I had the PGA Tour app pulled up. I'm watching on TV, and I'm seeing he's 10 under. I just watched him hit his birdie, and then I'm looking down here, and it's not updated yet. And usually this TV's a little behind, so I don't know. But, yes, back-to-back birdies for Rory McIlroy, as he is now 10 under, separating himself from the rest of the field. As close as behind him, two guys at 6 under.
I know he's a member of Augusta National, but don't you think we should just put Augusta National, tell Manfred to step aside and let Augusta National run baseball?
I think we would have less issues for sure. I think things would be figured out a little bit better. I think so. I think that'd be a good idea.
They wave a wand and make it work.
They really can. They know exactly what they're doing. So yeah, I think they could fix a lot of the issues around Major League Baseball, which is a laundry list of issues. So, but Brett, we talked earlier about kind of our picks. And look out, Landon with the Cam Young pick. Cam Young has been on an absolute tear on this back nine, and he is looking really, really good.
Got a really good bounce on what hole for it to hold? Maybe 15. Mm. That usually rolls all the way back in the water. Mm. It might not have been, just trying to watch and talk and keep up at the same time on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Has been difficult for me today. But he has had a good round, and he will be runaway leader of our picks. I've already deleted Minwoo Lee. He's at about Columbia right now, leaving Augusta for Harbor Town.
Well, yeah, no, he got.
And I hope he's driving alone.
Well, he got an early jump on the way out, I guess you could say. He's not running into any traffic, that's for sure.
No. And next week, when we visit with John Goen, the very real prospect of so much for Rory not being able to get over things at Augusta,
yeah.
You go back to back,
yeah.
And that buries that
in
the deepest part of the ocean.
Yeah, that would be really figuring things out if he can win it back to back.
Then we're talking, his place in golf history, mm-hmm. it's very pronounced already.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Just skates into a Hall of Fame right now. Yeah. He never hit another ball.
That's right. And so, yeah, I mean, it'd be huge if you could go back-to-back at the Masters. Would definitely, put him in a different category up at the top of the sport. And,
Then I think we start talking. He'd be the only one we can talk about it around is the Slam for this year.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
Good luck with that. Maybe need to wait till you win at least two legs of it.
Sure, yeah.
But he'll be the only one that could this year.
That's right, yeah. He would start, and we would kind of have him on notice. So, it would be
Have we jinxed him properly on a Friday afternoon late?
I think you've got it in. I think you have certainly got it in. Speaking of
Scottie Scheffler. He could be that guy that had that 65-65.
He could. I just, man.
That would win it.
It would. And I love what Dan Reardon said. It just, he has not been playing great golf recently. And now at the Masters, you saw what he did today. Really struggled that two over. And
that's probably the only way he wins it is thinking pair of 65s.
No, he's got to have rounds of his life to get back in the mix. And we'll see. He certainly can do it. I mean, if you're talking about who can do it, he would be the one to do it. But talk about jinxing. We said, and I know we talked about it by ourselves. We talked about it with Dan Reardon. Dan Reardon even said that Bryson was going to be safe of that cut line. I don't know. He is completely blown up on 18, and I do not think he's going to make the cut. I don't know exactly what shot he's on
right now,
but good Lord. I mean, it has been first shot went all up in the trees. I mean, he was right there up against a tree, then immediately got out of the trees into a bunker, couldn't get out of that bunker. Once he finally got out of the bunker, he went over the green. Oh, man, it has been
That would leave me
mess.
With zero.
Well, yeah, he would leave you. I forgot you have him. So, yes. It's going to be tight. I don't know. Like I said, I was not counting strokes. I don't know exactly where he's at.
I didn't have my wrist counter handy.
No. We'll have to keep that up. We'll have to get an eye on that during the break. Speaking of.
I'm texted now. He has to hole out to make the cut.
Wow. Holy cow. So, what do you got? We're on Bryson watch here.
Help me again with the math. So, I win zero, and we double in the majors and in Memphis.
That's
so, that doubled. would be the same as a 10 trillion times zero.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, it'd still be
okay,
zero.
Thanks.
Right. It would be zero. So we will definitely keep you updated on what's going on at the Masters. We'll do that in our next segment. Also, some basketball news, some college basketball news, as a former Tiger has his landing spot. We'll talk about that during What's Trending. But before we get to this break, let me remind you about our 5 o'clock sponsor. It's Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City has been the premier Jaguar dealership for the greater Memphis area since 1984. And their talented team is ready to help you find your next perfect vehicle at unbeatable rates. Swing by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City today and check out those brand new models like the Range Rover Sport, the Range Rover Velar, and the Defender. Test drive the Range Rover Sport, where luxury meets performance. It's a perfect mix of style, performance, and versatility, with options ranging from 360 horsepower up to 635. It's also available as a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle with $7,500 federal tax credit when leased with approved credit. Take a look at the Range Rover Velar, powered by mild hybrid technology and enhanced with the latest well-being features and fully connected entertainment system. The Range Rover Velar is the ultimate luxury compact crossover. Purchase yours today and get 4.4% for 72 months financing available with approved credit. Don't forget about the Defender, available in multiple models to fit your needs. The Defender is built for the modern Explorer, and Jaguar Bluff City is offering special interest rates for 60 and 72 months on various models. Give them a call, 877-259-6169. Go online to jaguarbluffcity.com or head out there and make sure you head out there to test drive these vehicles. 6335 Wheel Cove, just off of Quince, for Bluff City Jaguar. Well, we need to get to another break, and when we return, a lot to discuss during What's Trending.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we've got a little bit less than 30 minutes left in today's show, left for this week. We got to talk about what's trending. We'll get back into the Masters in just a second as Rory McIlroy now to 11 under, so he is really rolling to end round number two. We'll talk some Masters here in a second. We had some pretty big news break while we were talking with Dan Reardon regarding college basketball and the Memphis Tigers, as it is being reported that Kansas State guard, former Memphis guard P.J. Haggerty, has committed to Texas A&M. So that is now another Texas school for him. He's a Texas native. Started his career at TCU, then Tulsa, Memphis, Kansas State, and now Texas A&M. It looked like LSU was in the lead for a bit there. Obviously, with his relationship to that coaching staff, he almost ended up at NC State with Will Wade last year. I mean, pretty much was committed to NC State before Darren Williams took his name out of the transfer portal and landed there, and then NIL money got a little weird before he landed at Kansas State. So a lot of people thought he would go to Will Wade, but it always felt like those big Texas schools were going to be in play, being a Texas guy, and now he'll go and play some buckyball next year.
He will. I think Ole Miss thought they had a shot, but knew it was going to be tough with what LSU could offer, and now what Texas A&M must have offered and won. So five schools, four not Memphis, one Memphis in the P.J. Haggerty experience.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of schools for him, and now
the one year he said yes was really good.
Yeah, no, it was. It was awesome. It was a great year, and that's why, you know, so many people wanted him back, and so many people thought that Memphis had a chance to bring him back because of the success that not only he had, but the team had around him. But, you know, it always felt like kind of a long shot to bring P.J. Haggerty back. I mean, you look around, even though Kansas State struggled for other reasons that weren't P.J. Haggerty, he finished the year fourth in the country in scoring, so it always felt like there were going to be teams that were going to offer a lot of money to him to come and be their scorer, and now he'll go to Texas A&M, and we'll see what it looks like in the SEC for him.
And, Brian, I hope others don't. They can. I know I've had plenty of criticism, but this is not one for me for Penny Hardaway. I don't think every fit and start and swing and miss in the portal is going to be subjected to searing indictment and a lot of criticism for him, because he can still put together a good team for next year. I think missed on this one, but okay, you can still, with what I think and how Memphis will be funded, you can still put together a good team. We talked about if you had Haggerty, you had Brumbaugh, you had – what was the third player most coveted?
Oh, we talked about Wagner.
Wagner.
Yeah.
All right. One of the two out of Brumbaugh or Wagner, I think, with capable, competent point guard and other accompanying players, you'll be fine. I never thought it was going to be the clean sweep.
No. I don't think it's going to be the clean sweep. I think they're in a good spot if they get one of the three. Obviously, they're not going to get P.J. Haggerty. He's committed to Texas A&M. I don't think you get two of the three. Even before, I didn't think you would get two of the three. I personally, and we've talked about this, I would not have enjoyed a Rowan Brumbaugh and P.J. Haggerty backcourt. I think that would have been very sloppy. I think they have I'll be honest, like, I don't know, and I have no information or have heard anything. Like, I have no idea. I don't think they're going to land Rowan Brumbaugh. I think he's going to go to a high major school and play in one of these big time conferences. I think DJ Wagner is a really good possibility. You know, he saw his minutes dwindle at Arkansas, and you know, this is a guy that, you know, at one point a lot of people thought, you know, had the next level written on him, and so maybe for him to come down a level and play at Memphis, where he can be one of the go to guys and be a starter and have the ball in his hands a lot, I think that's something that he would probably enjoy. And obviously the history there with his family, I think that's something that they're probably in a good spot for. I've heard, and we had a texter yesterday, and we ran out of time before I saw it, kind of point out, and maybe it is. We talked to Greg Gasson yesterday and asked him about what's going on with Aaron Bradshaw. Like, why in the world have we not heard anything from him? And this texter pointed out that, you know, both DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw went to Camden. They were teammates there. Maybe there's something going on there. You never know. These guys, they do like to play with each other.
They were kind of a grouping going to Kentucky.
They were, yeah. And so, you know, maybe there is something there. I don't know. But if you were asking me today or even earlier about those three guys, I think DJ Wagner would be the guy Memphis will be in the best spot for.
And P.J. Haggerty, the decision I thought came a little quick. I didn't know it was coming this quick, but money talks.
Yeah, when
you get that offer,
sure.
Where'd I sign?
Yeah, and you know, you never know what we'll hear about it and kind of what the figures and if they're real figures or not. But I think for him, last year got so untidy in terms of he waited till the very last minute. When he got out there, a lot of places were already, you know, already had their guy. And so what he wanted, or at least what was reported he wanted, there were only a couple of schools out there that could give him that. Then those spots got filled up, and he kind of, you know, it sounds like just kind of landed at Kansas State. And so I think, you know, maybe for him it was, I want to get out there as quick as possible. When I find a school that I feel like I can fit at, the money is right, I'm not wasting any time, I'm going to commit, and let's get all of that out of the way instead of what happened last year that, I mean, ended up putting him in a really difficult spot at Kansas State. So, yeah, definitely surprised of how fast it was. I mean, it really felt quick. But, you know, for Memphis fans, you can mark that one off the board and kind of go to who's next on that kind of want list.
I just don't think it should be met with being crushing news. Unwarranted heavy criticism of Penny Hardaway.
I don't think Penny Hardaway or this staff deserves any sort of criticism. You know, like I said, I think it was always going to be tough to bring P.J. Haggerty back. And so I don't think, you know, any player, if it's an individual type deal, I think the kind of criticism, all of that will come of the roster as a whole put together once we see it out on the court. There can be disappointment. I'm sure fans are upset. There's going to be people that are, you know, disappointed, sad that P.J. Haggerty isn't coming back, which is fine. But, yes, I don't think there should be any sort of criticism to Penny Hardaway or the staff about not getting P.J. Haggerty back. But we'll see. Hopefully we get some news over the weekend and maybe things start coming together with some guys out of the portal as it continues to roll along. But, Brett, I tried to waste as much time as possible. Bryson DeChambeau, it was not a good finish.
It was a ride, wasn't it?
Oh, boy.
Glad the 3D printer iron really worked.
Well, yeah.
Try one from a golf shop.
Yeah, well, that's not going to make the headlines.
But I'm not angry. I'm going to enjoy the Masters all weekend.
You are. But
I'm as unlocked as Rory is now.
Well, that's right. And Rory is on another level right now. But I did, when we were talking with Dan Reardon, I kind of glanced over at the TV. And I saw Bryce like right
too much
up
camera
against
time
the tree,
for him,
and I was like, "Wow, that's a
tree,
that's a
sand,
tough." And then I saw him go
not
into the
fairway.
Sand.
You know, he was on the tee box.
Yep, and I was like, "Wow!" And then I saw, and
that's
I think
three shots.
I think one of the times I wasn't even watching the TV. I think I saw Landon's reaction in the other room when he couldn't get out of the bunker, and I was like, "Oh boy, this is not good at all."
It was the same as my reaction.
Yeah. Well, that's
visibly moved.
Yeah, a 7 on 18 for Bryson DeChambeau.
Matt Barry, who I just love, and hadn't the Masters covered between Matt Barry and Scott Van Pelt and Laura Rutledge? It's felt very college football-y, hasn't it?
It kind of has. Yeah, I haven't really put that together, but you're right. It has.
You know, and back in the day at CBS, Jim Dance did SEC anyway.
Yeah.
Matt Barry just tweeted, game, period, set, period, Masters, period. I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly a lot to play, but, oh boy, I mean, you look at what Rory McIlroy has done. He started this back nine with a bogey on 10. Since then, par, birdie, birdie, par, birdie, 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 and he's on 18 right now to end his round. So, I mean, it's hard
that bogey
to get
on
better.
10, to quote, Ian Baker Finch, it was right down the mayor's office. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And it, from second shot on, got him there. Really tough hole. If Rory blows this, does that nuke what happened last year?
In what sense? Like
are we back to Rory's got snakes in the head?
Well, he certainly could. I think mentally, if he kind of falls apart – I think you could possibly see that.
But the answer is no. You know why?
Why?
Green jacket, by
golly. That's what I was about to say.
Green jacket.
That's why I asked, because if you're talking mentally, then yes. But in terms of kind of history, no, we're not going to rewrite history. I mean,
scoreboard.
A Masters winner. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's in a really good spot right now. And, you know, we'll see what he does this weekend. And if he can make it back-to-back. I mean, I think it would be a really cool story if, you know, this guy that – I mean, for years we're talking about, will he ever win a Masters? If he can go out there, not only win it once, but win it back to back. But I do think, you know, the guys behind him, this group at 6 under, at 5 under,
look at Cam Young,
make it difficult.
Man, he's at everything on the sweet spot.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to see this. I know he's Landon's pick. I had a bet on him to go under today on the. I think his line was 71.5, under 71.5. So he's gonna get through that. So we right. love a little. A little action today.
While we're offering up friendship and support, we certainly give ours to you over Akshay Bhatia as well.
Yeah, well, that you know, I mean, he was a popular pick. He was a trendy pick coming into the week. Rode that lefty.
I know you felt the sincerity, didn't you?
No, I really did feel the sincerity. But that's kind of what these weeks are for. You know, you got to kind of work through it. And these were early in golf picks, so you know, get it all out right now so that you can really hit a. You know,
it's for keepers with the golf.
Right.
It's our most contentious banner. No doubt.
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. It's going to get ugly in the next couple of weeks. Now it's kind of – this is the friendly part of it. But
can you imagine what I'm going to get from John Goins next Wednesday at 4 o'clock?
Well, again, it's early. You know, Brett, we're just working through –
I'm not feeling the love in a few text exchanges with him.
Well,
I'm really not.
Well, yeah, that is understandable. But it's going to be fun throughout the weekend, see how this all wraps up. If Rory McIlroy can make it 2 in a row or somebody else – gets on the move and wins it on Sunday. But
all our golf guests this week, and that includes John Goins, his experience in the game, and our friends we checked in with at Augusta, Colin Cody, the tournaments he's covered there, and Doug Bell and Grant Hall and Dan Reardon. We only had about 200 years of golf experience checked
really
in with
did.
Us this week.
We really did.
I'm really proud of that, and I appreciate them so much.
Oh, no. They have been awesome this week, and really appreciate them, especially you know the handful that were out there and actually working to give us some time and come on with us. Really, really nice of them, and was a blast to talk with them about everything going on at the Masters. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day. When we return, we'll wrap up today's show. We'll wrap up this week with Moe's Crunch Time.
add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Lunchtime is brought to you by Humdinger's Corporate Catering. Enjoy tacos made with crunchy slaw, grilled fish and chicken, and the best taco sauce in town. Find out more, call Jenny Nash at 901-606-3172.
Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest press time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com, it's your go-to for all your taco Crunch Time emergencies. Well, Brett, what I learned today, 2 days in the book, at the Masters, and right now Rory McIlroy with a significant lead, 12 under. He birdied 18. Sure, how about that?
Matt Berry may be right.
Wow, he really might be. That is four birdies to end the round for Rory McIlroy. That makes it six on the last seven holes that Rory McIlroy birdied in his second round. So he is at 12 under. Next closest, Sam Burns and Patrick Reed at six under. So yeah, Rory might be able to run away and hide and win back-to-back Masters.
Just we know the jacket fits.
Well, he's certainly. They got the size, and they got the match exactly right. So a 67 yesterday, another incredible round today. So he's in a really good spot going into the weekend.
He's in a league of his own. Incredible. It was what I learned this round. It's one of the all-timers, by all-time player. But also, rare that Augusta National can let the golf course almost get out of control. But it did yesterday on 15, very well described by Eddie Murphy. But what happened yesterday and some of the other hole locations caused adjustments for today, because they don't want it going full Shinnecock or Olympic like the USGA sometimes let courses go.
Well, Brett, I didn't know I was going to be doing golf for both what I learned and what I could have done without, and that's because Akshay Bhatia, what a roller coaster of a finish for him.
But your friends are here for you.
Yeah, well, that's great, but...
Yeah, sure.
I had Akshay Bhatia in a parlay just to make the cut.
That makes it even worse.
On 17, he holes out. That puts him on the right side of the cut line. On 18... double bogey. Akshay, got to be better than that, bud.
Our picks are funsies. That pick was cash.
It was cash. Well, yeah. It was cash. I think it was actually a free bet, so it wasn't technically cash.
But even
better.
It
would have been cash if it had won.
Yeah, on a free bet, you got to take a flyer, don't you?
You got to.
You don't want anything safe.
No, so it was parlay. It was for a lot of money. But him losing, I think, was the only leg that lost. So
I could do without this, and on Sunday, we'll just make it in. Make this season in. Make this three-year nightmare in. For the Grizzlies tonight against the Jazz, Sunday at Houston, lose both games, make it end, make it stop.
Well, tonight is the one everyone's going to be
watching. Go away, Grizzlies year.
This might be the one you aren't able to lose against the Utah Jazz. Where are you beaming tonight?
All weekend, best event in all of sports, the weekend at the Masters at Augusta National Golf Club. And on Sunday, on that introduction from Jim Nance, when he goes on camera and says, "Welcome to the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, the Masters on CBS."
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun all weekend for the Masters. But I'm embarrassed to say it. I really can't wait for Jazz and Grizzlies tonight. I mean, I talk about just a rough watch, but I am all in on it.
LSU and Oxford against Ole Miss. Everybody play nice down at LSU. Here's the deal. Just neither side mention Lane Kiffin and have a good weekend. Cardinals and Red Sox at Busch Stadium. Mets and A's, that was a 73 World Series. In Cleveland and Atlanta, that was the 95 World Series.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. All the basketball, the baseball, even some UFL football. You've got the Masters. Going to be a fun, fun weekend. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your weekend. We're going to get you out there to that Ole Miss and LSU baseball game here in just a second. But have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.